For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have full assurance of hope unto the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray briefly. Loving Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts truly be for your praise, glory, and honour. Change us, Lord, we pray. Fill us with your Spirit as you speak to us through your word. We ask this through Christ alone. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you may have seen some women wearing a necklace or a bracelet, and attached to that are three symbols: a cross, an anchor, and a heart. These three represent faith, hope, and love. The cross represents faith in the saving death of Christ. The anchor represents hope in Christ. And the heart pictures, of course, the love of Christ. Today we will focus our attention on the anchor as a symbol of hope. This picture comes to us from verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Believers in the early church often use this image to represent their certain hope in Christ. It was actually inscribed on many tombstones and in the catacombs that can be found in the Christian world of the ancient Near East. The words of verse 19 are very encouraging, especially in times of struggle and trial and sadness. None of us know what will happen in our lives. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, let alone what will happen in the next 12 months. The future is full of uncertainty. But one thing is certain. Those who believe in Jesus Christ have the sure and firm promise of eternal life. God has given us salvation. That can be your hope. And the anchor for your soul. As we look at this, we'll see that our hope of eternal life is based on both God's promises and on Christ's work. So, first of all, our hope is based on God's promises. As we saw when we read in verse 4 and following, this chapter begins with a very solemn warning against falling away. It was addressed to the people who were part of the church, but were not converted. They enjoyed the privileges of the covenant community, but were not believers. In verses 4 to 6, the writer warns them that if they fall away, after having heard and participated in all these great promises, they were in mortal danger. Those who are part of the church at one time and who then turn their backs on the Lord and on the church, they, or you, are in danger of being lost forever. Let that sink in. Lost forever. There comes a point where it is impossible to bring them back to repentance. Eventually, God lets them follow their own path to self-destruction. This is a solemn warning for us all who are a part of the church community. Don't turn away from the Lord. Don't leave the church of Christ. Don't give up on the faith. Because if you keep on rejecting Jesus, he will give you what you desire. And it will be impossible to come back. However, the writer was confident that this would not happen to them. In their work and love for God's people, he could see evidence that they were truly saved. He urged them to continue on. Verses 11 and 12 say to us, "We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." This mention of God's promises led him to write about what God had promised to Abraham. God had made a promise to him. "I will surely bless you and give you many descendants." God promised him a son and assured him that he and his son would be blessed. That seemed impossible at the time. Abraham was very old, and so was his wife Sarah. She was barren, and it appeared that they could have no children. Yet God is faithful, and his word is true. And his promises are reliable. God had made a promise, and that was enough. But God knew that Abraham had some doubts. So in order to reinforce that promise, he confirmed it with an oath. "I swear by myself," he said to Abraham in Genesis 22:16. He wanted to reassure Abraham that he really would have many descendants and that he would be blessed, and that through him, all the nations of the world would be blessed. So when the writer refers in verse 18 to two unchangeable things, he was referring to God's promise and God's oath. Just as God wanted to reassure Abraham of his promise, so too he wants to reassure us. The promises given to Abraham are passed on to us, and the confirmation given to him is also given to us. We inherit all these promises because we are the children of Abraham. We are the new Israel. We who believe have the same faith as Abraham, and we believe in the same God, and we receive the same salvation. We are the people referred to in verse 17 as the heirs of what was promised. The promises given to Abraham are passed on to us. God's promises to us are certain and sure and unchangeable in Christ. They were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the seed of Abraham, the one that was promised. It is through him that all the nations of the world are right now being blessed. All God's promises are given to us for our encouragement. This is what the writer says in the second part of verse 18, that we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. This picture of a man fleeing or running is taken from the Old Testament. In the laws given to the new nation by Moses, if a man killed another man accidentally in what would be called, what we would call manslaughter, he could flee to one of the cities of refuge that were located in various parts of Israel. He needed to run to that city quickly before the avenger of blood caught up with him and killed him for killing another person. If he made it to that city, he would be safe as long as he stayed there and lived there. The writer of the letter of Hebrews uses this as a picture for us. We are in great danger because we face the judgment of God. We are guilty and deserving of death because of our sins. Because of that, you must flee to Christ. You must go to him and find in him forgiveness for your sins. If you remain with him, you will be safe because he has taken the judgment of God on himself. He has paid for your sins with his precious blood. If we go to Christ, we will be able to take hold of the hope offered to us. This is the hope that God has promised in the Bible. It is the hope of eternal life, the hope of being with the Lord in heaven for all eternity, the hope of receiving the inheritance laid up for us. The hope that we will be with Christ Jesus and be like him. This is the hope offered to you. To be with the Lord Jesus. The hope of heaven is not first about forgiveness or eternal happiness or the absence of sorrow. It is rather about being with Christ. This is our hope. You need to take hold of this hope. You need to grasp it firmly. You need to get a firm grip on it. Very sadly, some believers live without a strong sense of assurance. And they are not greatly encouraged. They struggle with doubt and they lack the certainty of salvation. If this describes you, then you must take hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe that he died on the cross to pay the full price for all of your sins. You must believe the promise contained in the scriptures and apply them to yourself personally. Christ died for you. Trust him. Rely on him. Have you done this? Have you laid hold of this hope? Do you have the certainty of eternal life? Do you have a strong and firm assurance of salvation? God wants you to be greatly encouraged, to have strong consolation. Rely on the sure promise of God that if you believe in Jesus, you will be saved. Our hope is based on God's promises, and therefore can never be shaken. Secondly, it is based on Jesus as our high priest. The high priest in the Old Testament was the mediator between God and Israel. He represented the people before God. One of the ways he did that was to offer sacrifices on their behalf. The most important sacrifice of the year was offered once a year on the Day of Atonement. On that day, the high priest would take the blood of the sacrifice behind the curtain into the most holy place, a room that symbolized the presence of God among his people. There he would sprinkle the blood on the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. He would do that on behalf of the people. How his actions pointed toward Jesus. Jesus is our mediator and high priest, as well as the sacrifice for sin. He paid for our sins with his own blood, and then he rose from the dead. After that, he ascended into heaven, and he entered the presence of God in heaven. And he did that on our behalf. We can see that in verse 20. He did that for us. He is our representative in heaven. He is there interceding for us and reminding God the Father of what he has done for us. Jesus is the remarkable high priest in that he is very different from those men in the Old Testament who served in that office. They were imperfect, and so they had to sacrifice for their own sin and then that of the people. But Jesus was perfect. They were only men and they grew old and died. But Jesus was the eternal Son of God, and so he lives forever to intercede for us. This is why the writer of the Hebrews says that he was not like the priests who came from the tribe of Levi, but rather that he was like Melchizedek, who was a king and a priest, a thing that the writer goes on to develop in chapter 7. We have this great high priest in heaven. Jesus is also described as the one who went before us. This phrase translates one Greek word, which occurs only here in the New Testament. This word literally means forerunner. It refers to someone who went in front of another to prepare the way. At that time, it was used to describe the light troops who were sent forward as scouts, leading the way for the rest of the army. This is what Jesus has done for us. He has gone before us into heaven to prepare the path for us. He is our forerunner. He has led the way and made it safe for us to follow. Jesus explained this to his disciples. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. That's from John 14. All this gives you great security. That security is described using the picture of an anchor. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We have that picture, don't we, of our life as a life boat, a small boat out in the open sea. You're crossing the ocean, seeking to head to a safe harbour. On the way, you are exposed to wind and waves, to strong currents and violent storms. Your boat is tossed about. Sometimes you are threatened with shipwreck. In many of these situations, a captain will use an anchor to hold his boat steady so that it remains in one place. That anchor sinks to the bottom of the seabed. The sailors cannot see where the anchor is resting, but they know that their boat is secure. Isn't this the same for us? Our hope is in Jesus, who is in heaven. He has gone there into the presence of God, and our hope is there. Our anchor is cast in heaven. We are moored to God himself through Jesus Christ. We can't see God in heaven, nor can we see the Lord Jesus Christ, but we know that our lives are held steady because our hope is in God. An anchor is especially important when there are strong winds and high seas. In these situations, a captain will drop the anchor to ride out the storm. The anchor will actually help guide the ship. and keep it firm even when the waves crash against the boat or wash over it. How true this is also of us. You may be going through storms and high winds and strong currents. Or you may face these things in the future. If you put your hope in the Lord Jesus, then you will be able to ride these out. You can be calm, even when troubles threaten to overwhelm you, knowing that your ship is safe with the Lord Jesus Christ. He will look after you. He will protect you. You will forever be firm and secure. A hymn that some know well expresses this as a prayer. Jesus, Saviour, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rocks and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Saviour, pilot me. Is that your prayer? Are you looking to Jesus to pilot you through life? Are you trusting him for chart and compass? Is your hope in Christ, or are you trusting something or someone else? Are you relying on your own navigational skills? Are you trusting in your own strength? Do you think you'll be able to get yourself through life without any help from God? Are you planning to go through it alone, sailing solo? Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus Saviour, pilot me. If you trust in Jesus Christ, then he will keep you afloat right to the end of your journey, which is heaven, our eternal harbour. This will be our eternal rest. Then the storms and troubles and trials of life will be over. But you aren't there yet. So you need to keep going through the rest of your life on this earth. You can do that with confidence and with great encouragement if you keep trusting in God and in all his great promises. And you can also keep going with hope if you keep looking to Jesus. One of our hymns that we will sing later after the sermon is, "Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart, draw me, my Saviour, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Nearer still nearer, while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be nearer, my Saviour, still nearer to thee." Do you trust in God's promises and rely on the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you will be able to take hold of the hope the Lord gives you, a hope that is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Let's come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Loving King and glorious Lord, we thank you that you are our anchor, our rock, our refuge and our Redeemer. We are so humbled by the riches you have bestowed upon us and ask you to help us to live out a life of joy, knowing that we have all we will ever need in you through Jesus. For those of us who are storm-tossed and grieving, please grant your comfort. For those fearful of the future, please grant them your peace. May those who are struggling day to day find their strength in you, and may their anchor be cast upon you. May you be proving to each one how perfectly you hold them, safe and secure, and will do so until you bring them safely home. Help each of us daily to remember to rest in you, trust in your unfailing promises, and seek your face. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning and your faithfulness never ends. And thank you for being our loving and gracious King. And all this we pray through Christ alone. Amen.